There's a lot of things that I've said over the years which were perceived to be crazy. And then suddenly, they start to move mainstream.
I'm waiting for someone to convince me that we don't live in a simulation. Simulation.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, taste, and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain.
What if all you ever knew was a lie?
Welcome to Making Sense of the Madness, and on this 9/11 anniversary, we could not have a better guest. Really a pioneer and legend in the field of alternative media and beyond, David Icke is going to join us. You're not going to want to miss this one. Buckle up and get ready to make sense of the madness.
China has identified the cause of a
mysterious new virus.
Over the past few weeks, our entire world has been transformed.
You must stay at home.
Our freedoms have now been replaced with fear.
We need all the protection that we can get.
Now governments dictate what is allowed to be said. But today we will not be silenced. And 1 million people will be watching. I prepared my whole life for a moment like this, but nothing would prepare for what happened next.
This is London Real. I am Brian Rose. My guest today is David Icke.
What happened after that broadcast, Brian?
London Real had an interview with David Icke, was removed from YouTube. If you take that guy off, you just make him bigger.
What the hell just happened?
Have you ever lost the only thing that makes you feel alive?
You are only one piece of content away from termination.
This is the story about how we got censored.
There is no COVID-19.
How we put everything on the line for what we believed in.
They picked the wrong guy to fight with.
How we were betrayed.
Fuck the BBC.
How we fought back.
We are freedom. And we'll accept nothing less.
And expose the truth.
Who benefits? He who most benefits from a crime is the one most likely to have committed it.
Who is telling me what I can and can't say?
So it will never happen again.
I want to be with Brian Rose and David Icke. That is the future, and that will never be defeated.
I am more powerful than they are, and they frickin' know it.
And there it is. We will not be silenced. To talk about that and much more is the man, the myth, the legend, David Icke of Iconic, where you can find him fully uncensored. David, first of all, thank you so much for joining us, and especially on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. And I would argue that this really fast-tracked us globally to what I call the post-truth world that we are currently living in. Now, you have been trying to shine light on the darkness for several decades now, really one of, if not the first person to do so, to take on the biomedical techno-tyranny state, if you will, the global plan to regiment all human beings. So I guess my first question for you is, where do you see us as a human species in this anniversary?
Well, we are at a massive fork in the road. I've been saying that for a long time, and it's just become more and more obvious that we have a choice before us of which way we have to go. We still have a choice, if we only realized it, because 8 billion people cannot control or be controlled by a handful, and by comparison it is, unless the 8 billion acquiesce with their own enslavement. So we've always got a choice, but that choice is based on perception. We choose how to behave, how to act, by our perception of reality. And what we're looking at, if you break this down to the very foundation of how the control system works, it's played out in a stadium called perception. So for instance, if you take 9/11, it was a perceptual attack. The perception of people like you, people like me, and others, was that this was an obvious inside job. It was an obvious, what they call, false flag. It was an obvious case of what I've been calling since the 1990s, problem, reaction, solution, where you create a problem, blame someone else for it, and then you want a reaction from the public of fear, of anxiety, of something must be done, what you're going to do about it. At which point you, who have covertly created the problem, offer the solutions to the problems you have covertly created. And those solutions always take us further down the road to global dystopia. You might call it creative destruction. You keep destroying status quos to put another status quo in place. You then destroy that status quo, and so you go on down the road to where we have now arrived at. So if you break down 9/11, if you break down COVID, if you break down human-caused climate change, as it's alleged to be, well, they are all perceptual attacks. So if you did not believe the official story of 9/11, you saw the world in a certain way. You realize why the Patriot Act came out so fast, and you could see that it must have been written before the attacks. You could see why they were blaming bin Laden so that they could justify the invasion of Afghanistan, where they said the Taliban was protecting him, and so on and so forth, in all the other events that have followed. If you look at COVID, you saw through what we were being told, and therefore you acted in a certain way. But if you believe the official story of 9/11, if you believe the official story of COVID and of human-caused climate change, then you put your support behind the official narrative and the official solutions, which, whether it's 9/11, whether it's COVID, whether it's human-caused climate change, have one thing in common: the deletion of freedom, the deletion of a what they call a democratic society, and the imposition ever greater of the few on the many. So the whole stadium in which this plays out is perception. Can we control perception? Because if we control perception, we control behavior, as we see with those three examples. And so this is what the mass censorship is all about. Because if you want to control perception, you must control that from which we form perceptions, which is information. And if people only hear your narrative, there's a heck of a chance they're going to believe it, because they have nothing else to challenge it. And I would just say this, that we we shouldn't fall for the idea that all this censorship is an expression of elite power. It's an expression of elite insecurity and actually lack of power. Because people who are secure, people who have the self-assurance of what they say, they don't want to censor anybody. You don't want to censor anybody, nor do I. Free flow of information, people make of it what they will. It's called freedom. But if you know that your narratives, 9/11, human caused climate change, COVID, are not going to stand up to open public debate, then you sure as hell make sure you don't have one. And that is what this censorship is all about. So we are in a battle, if you like, to keep going, keep flowing the other ways of looking at the world, the evidence that challenges the official story. Because if we don't, then the official narrative will be all that anyone hears. And of course, if we move it into where this is going now, quite blatantly, into the realm of AI and connecting AI to the human brain, that is the great line in the sand. In this sense, I've said that the stadium in which this plays out is perception. Well, what is connecting AI to the human brain about? It's moving beyond the need to control information and thus form perception, as I've described, and into the realm where our perceptions come direct from artificial intelligence. And that is where they want to take us in the not too distant future. In fact, it's already unfolding. So these subjects that we're talking about today are all part of this vast global web that's been unfolding decade after decade. And it's been working under the surface. It's been manipulating below the radar. And after 9/11, as you quite rightly say, especially after COVID, it's put itself on public display. And I said a long time ago that this has got to get really bad before we can turn this around. Because until it's here in people's faces, they're going to be looking for getaway cars to give them an excuse to do nothing. Oh, no, it's not really, just a conspiracy theory. But now it's increasingly here. And so now we've got a chance of doing something about it. Question is, will we? Because if we don't, I can tell people now, the consequences of not doing that are infinitely greater than summoning the courage now and saying no.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I want to get into this transhumanist vision that they clearly have for the rest of society, but we've got to take a break. And before that, I want to focus in on the United States and where we are coming up on 2024. Stay tuned. We've got David Icke. It's Making Sense of the Madness back after this.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
Get more out of your AMP News experience with AMP Insider. With seven pillars of focused information, including off-grid living, get prepared with food prep and essentials, must-have items and basics, and preparedness, protection, and hunting. Support the mission of AMP with a subscription for $9.95 per month. Get the first month for $1 by using promo code AMP888.
Welcome to a new era of connecting patriots, AMP Insider.
We are back with David Icke. His latest book is The Dream. David, before we get into transhumanism and frontmen like Elon Musk, which I know you've done incredible work on, I want to talk about what's coming up in 2024. Now, you've stayed very apolitical throughout the years, but during the end of the 2020 cycle, you clearly said, look, I think there is a difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And I think we've seen that difference. And one of the major concerns I have right now is that we've had puppets, and they've been very visible in the past with people like George W. Bush, the idiot son of an intelligence officer, or Barack Obama, a very intelligent construct, et cetera. But we've never had somebody like Joe Biden, a career criminal who now clearly has dementia and is not in charge of anything. And in this country, we've never prosecuted a president for his very obvious war crimes. And it seems like Donald Trump didn't commit enough war crimes. And now we have these four cases. I'm of the firm belief that they're going to put him in prison for at least one of these cases, if not several. If indeed that happens, David, what happens to this country and the world? And do you believe that's the outcome?
Well, I think we'll have to see where this goes. But my view all along is we've got to be very careful about looking for saviors. Because if you want one of those, then find yourself a freaking mirror, because there they are, looking back at you. You know, I'll come back to what I said earlier. 8 billion people cannot be controlled by a relative handful unless the 8 billion give their power to the handful. And there's two groups of people that are responsible for every tyranny in history, including the present one, which is global and historic in nature because of the scale of it. And that's group number one that does what it says or does what authority says without question, because it doesn't question anything. Authority says it, so the doctor said it, so God, me jab, and all that stuff. And all the experts know what they're doing. I tell you what, they don't. And so you've got that mentality, and they'll just do whatever the narrative tells them to do. Oh, yeah, go under house arrest, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. And then you've got the second group, and they kind of see, I really don't like this. I really don't like this, the way this is going. And I don't actually think that they're telling us the truth. But what are the consequences for me if I don't do what they say? So they do. And so you've got two groups, the unquestioning and the questioning, but ooh, I don't want those consequences. I'm going to do it anyway. And if you look at history, those two mentalities have been responsible for every tyranny in history. Fascists and communists don't bring in fascism, communism. There's never enough of them. What brings in tyranny is the population acquiescing to the tyrants. And we massively outnumber the tyrants, and yet we still go on letting the tyrants run the show, because we're looking for someone else, something else outside of us to dictate our actions, either unquestioning or I'm going with it because I don't like the consequences. And that leaves group number three. Hallelujah, since COVID, it's got much, much, much bigger. And that's the group that says, I can see it. I can see what they're doing. And I'm not acquiescing to it. People think that the word yes is positive and the word no is negative. Yes is how we got here. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, I'll conform, sir. That's how we got here. The power of no is how every tyranny has been brought down, where enough of the population say we're not cooperating with our own enslavement and our family's enslavement. Therefore, we're not doing what you tell us. And the plan with AI, we'll get to that, I'm sure, is to create a situation where you even take that choice away. That's what, where it's going. So what I'm saying in relation to the question is that whoever it is, I don't care what the name of the politician is, we have got to stop looking for saviors. All right, if someone comes in and they make different decisions to someone else and they're slightly better decisions, that's fair enough, okay. But it's not politicians that are going to turn this around. It's humanity saying no to tyranny and not cooperating with it. And in so many ways, we've got to be very careful. You have, in America, we have the same in Britain. You have a party they call Democrat, in the basic equivalent in Britain is called the Labour Party. And they are today utterly controlled by the woke mentality. All the massive agendas of dystopia are all supported by this, well, they call them liberals. I wish they weren't, that they wouldn't call them liberals, because they're not, they're fascists. They want to impose their will upon the population just like fascism does or communism does. So don't tell me they're liberals. They're the absolute opposite of liberals, but they claim to be. And then on the other side, you've got supporters of the other parties. It's the Republican in America. The equivalent is the Conservative, the current government in Britain. And they are still a one-party state. They're still part of the one-party state, but there's a difference. The so-called left of center parties don't have pushback on this dystopian agenda on anything like the scale that the so-called right-wing parties do, because there is a natural constituency of the Republicans, particularly the MAGA Republicans and the Conservative Party in Britain, that don't want this dystopia. They don't want all that's going on with the transgender and the open borders and all the other impositions on freedom. They don't want that. So those parties have to be more circumspect. We have the Conservative Party in Britain now speaking against the agenda, but mildly. And then you say, what you going to do about it? And the answer is nothing. And, you know, we've got to be careful that we don't look to politicians to be the answer when they have been the vehicle, not the origin, the vehicle for the problem. And okay, you get someone in who's not Joe Biden, and that would be a good thing, whoever it is, Kennedy on the Democrats or someone else on the Republican side, because of course the Biden administration is just the free flow opening the floodgates to this global dystopia. Obviously, I said that's what would happen when he came in. It just happened. But in the end, that's okay, that's a bit better, but we've got to get down to this basic foundation of how tyrannies are brought down. And they're not brought down by politicians, they're brought down by the public not having it. And, you know, one of the things I would say is that, you know, people talk about Trump, and I would just say, be careful about being told what you want to hear. Because when someone's saying what you want to hear, your door is already starting to open, because you want it to be true. You want to believe it. Telling people what they don't want to hear is much more challenging. And, you know, I would just say, and Elon Musk's a classic example, not by their words shall they be known, but by their actions. And we shouldn't forget that Donald Trump has claimed credit for what was a military operation in playing out the fake jab with all its massive consequences. He could have pardoned Julian Assange and Edward Snowden in the last days of his presidency, but instead pardoned a load of crooks, not least connected to his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. And I think, shall we say, there was a lot of opportunities lost in the first Trump presidency. So I would just emphasize, please don't give your power away to anyone, whatever they are, whatever they're saying. If they want to do things that are beneficial, that's fantastic. But don't think that the savior's coming, because you are the savior. Collectively, we're all the savior by saying no to tyranny and not handing power to an individual to kind of protect us from the tyranny for another 4 years. Because let's just look at the Trump period. Yes, the tyranny moved forward slower than it has under Biden, breakneck bloody speed under Biden, for the very reasons I'm talking about. But it still moved forward. And the COVID jab was a colossal, colossal step on that road. So, you know, vote for who you like. I don't vote. I work on the basis of don't vote. It only encourages them, really. But people should vote for who they like. But please don't look for a savior, because they ain't coming, because we're it.
So let me just echo that. I'm a big be your own hero guy, and looking in the mirror every day and navigating the situation to the best of your knowledge. And that's why knowledge is truly power. And really, ignorance is harmful. There is, if you're being willfully ignorant, you're hurting yourself. So my biggest issue with this Trump situation is it just sets a precedent now where anybody can be arrested, where they don't get to present a trial. You saw with Alex Jones and the Sandy Hook $1 billion and the defaulting, and now you've seen what Giuliani, who I'm no fan of, talk about no fan of, I know that you're no fan of Giuliani. He defaults in his case, he's found guilty. Navarro, found guilty. I think that we're moving towards a militarized and weaponized Justice Department or injustice department like we've never seen. They militarized DC after January 6th. They're still pushing this perceptual narrative of an insurrection that didn't happen. And then, you know, you've mentioned Elon Muskernuts, and he has been erected kind of as this new savior. And, you know, to go talk about words over actions, he says he's giving us free speech. I still feel shadow banned. I know you got your Twitter back, but let's look at who he really is. The guy
I feel shadow banned as well.
The man made more money than every other billionaire during the COVID 1984 nightmare, more than Buffett, Gates, Sergey Brin, you name it. And he did so in large part from what? Teaming up with CureVac via Tesla, which is not a car company, and building the micro factories that printed up these hate and lie shots. Meanwhile, Tesla also wants you to live in a small home. Every other EV company was literally crushed because he's a military industrial contractor. He's building the Optimus humanoid robot on top of Neuralink. His Starlink program is militarized in the Ukraine. SpaceX is that. It's launching Starlink and its sister program, Blackjack. It's also military cargo around the world within the hour. This guy checks every single box of Klaus Nutschwab, only he's being presented as a hero because he's saying some of the basic things, David. So we do have to take another break. When we come back, I want you to go further into the wolf in sheep's clothing known as Elon Musk. It's making sense of the madness, back after this.
My employees and I are excited to announce it's our 20th anniversary, and to celebrate, we're bringing you a limited edition MyPillow. The Giza Elegance MyPillow is made with the most amazing cotton, 2-inch pipe gusset, comes in 4 custom loft levels, and it's machine washable and dryable.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night, and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. That's why we've been around for 20 years, because MyPillow works.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your limited edition 20th anniversary MyPillow queen size. Retails for $69.98, now only $19.98. That's right, only $19.98.
With my 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
We are back. It's Making Sense of the Madness, and we're talking Elon Musk with David Icke. David, he's bringing us to the moon. We're going to the Mars. We're going to interface with AI. It's the best thing since breakfast, and he's giving us free speech on the internet. What could you possibly have against Elon Musk?
Oh, dear, how long have you got? I've had my eye on this guy for a very long time. I go back to what I said earlier. Don't listen to the words. Watch the actions. So the world is on our level of reality is directed by what I call the global cult. It's a global network of secret societies, which is fiercely compartmentalized. So only the inner core knows the full picture. Not Bill and Joe down the Freemason Lodge. They're in the web, but they're on the great periphery of the web. They're not, you know, trying to manipulate the world towards where we're going, because they don't know that the organization they're part of, which connects into all the other organizations in the web, is actually designed to do that. Some of them might, but most of them don't, through compartmentalization. So what we've seen over the hundreds of years, never mind decades, is this cult getting more and more centralization of power. And the colonization of the world was a fundamental part of that. The cult located itself eventually coming out of Babylon and that kind of area and up through the Roman Empire into Northern Europe. And then through the British and other European empires, particularly the British, it went global. And then we had this thing called decolonization, which was a sleight of hand, because what happened is the cult, the secret society web, left the secret societies in the countries, the former colonies, and the bloodlines that are interbreeding over the centuries and playing a part in this cult agenda of moving closer and closer to global dystopia. And they've gone on controlling those countries ever since. But because those countries are given a vote every 4 or 5 years, or a lot of them anyway, then they must be free. Well, of course, the hidden hand is running the show. And then you had globalization, which was the centralization still going on now. The centralization of power in every area of our lives. And that relates to another kind of dynamic, which is the more you centralize power, the more power you have at the center to centralize even. So the speed of centralization has got faster. And so we've reached the point we have now where a unbelievable number of people, even in the public eye, never mind the real power in the shadows, are pushing the world towards this global world government, world army, AI-controlled dystopia. And it's reached the point now where it has infiltrated virtually everything. And I have a phrase, know the outcome and you'll see the journey. If you don't know what the outcome is planned to be, then everything that happens in daily events seems random. Oh, this has happened here, that's happened in that country, that's happened there, that's happened there. But when you know what the outcome is planned to be, you see very clearly that these apparent random events are stepping stones towards that outcome. And, you know, we talk about any subject you like, and I could explain that those stepping stones in relation to that subject. So what is the outcome, or what is one of the outcomes? And this is just one example of what Musk is fronting up, and I emphasize fronting up. And that's this plan to create a global, what they call cloud, an electromagnetic field of 5G, 7G to come, that covers every inch of the planet. Because the idea is that that becomes human mission control. And we have these COVID fake vaccines, which they want to impose on everyone, even those that have said no this far, because they are self-replicating systems. This is why Moderna called in its own documents the content of its sales and rating system to connect the human body brain perception to the cloud. And if you want to cover every inch of the planet with this radiation field, think of it as a form of Wi-Fi. It's like a Wi-Fi mission control, which they want to connect humans to. We have the Internet of Things, where they're connecting all these domestic appliances and cars and energy systems to cloud. Well, they want to connect us to it as well. So what the cloud thinks, what the cloud is infused to do, everything connected to it responds accordingly. That's the idea. So you can put these 5G masts, for instance, in lots and lots of places around cities, but you're not going to cover every inch of Earth doing that. So what do you want? You need low orbit satellites, thousands. And that's what SpaceX and Musk are putting up there. Thousands of them. They've got permission from the regulatory body for tens of thousands of them. And this is an interesting point, just quickly to make. Why would the regulatory body give permission for this? Why would the regulatory bodies supposed to protect us from the big pharma cartel, the CDC, the FDA, RA in Britain, and so forth around the world, why would they give permission to roll out a fake vaccine that's not even a vaccine, previous criteria, to the population, including down to young kids? Why would it do that when it hadn't been trialed in any way that's worth the name? Because this global cult has reached a point of control where it controls the regulatory agencies. It controls the FCC saying to Elon Musk, yes, you can do that, SpaceX. It says to Big Pharma, CDC and the FDA, yes, you do what you want to do. And what is this? Why is it, very quickly, that the Silicon Valley corporations like Facebook and Google and YouTube, etc., why did they say right at the start of COVID, we are going to censor anyone that challenges or exposes the objective of COVID coming out of the World Health Organization? Well, the World Health Organization has not only been infiltrated by the cult, it was started by it through the Rockefeller family in 1948 as part of the UN, which is another cult operation. And the Silicon Valley corporations are being created and developed by the same cult. So just as with the regulatory agencies and Big Pharma, you've got Silicon Valley Silicon Valley, created by the cult, run by the cult, censoring challenges to the World Health Organization, which was created by and is running health policy worldwide for the cult. So when you look at that, and then you look at Elon Musk, we're being asked to believe that just by coincidence, this man Musk, is a renegade of this cult operation. And it's purely by chance that he, through SpaceX, had the same idea that the cult wants to happen, which you put up satellites by the thousand to fire this electromagnetic cloud at the Earth, every inch of it, ultimately. But you just happened to have the idea that you wanted to promote electric cars, and which are obviously nothing to do with human-caused climate change, which is a total bloody hoax. Bloody child could see that. But you need electric cars when you want autonomous vehicles where the computer decides where you can't go, and you couldn't do that with diesel and petrol vehicles. So that's the real reason, or one of them, why electric cars are coming in. The other thing is, of course, that electric cars are not designed to be for everybody. Most people are designed not to have a vehicle or freedom of movement at all. But again, just by chance, Elon Musk is fronting up this company. He then says that AI could be the end of humanity. Well, humanity as we know it, absolutely. I've been saying it for decades. But so this same man that says that then starts a company called Neuralink to connect computers and AI to the human brain. And, you know, I would just put Musk into this context as well. He is claimed to be a genius. I remember Joe Rogan saying in that interview with him, you must be an alien because how can anybody do what you do and all the things that you do? Well, how about, Joe, he's not doing them?
Thank you.
How about that this idea that Musk is a genius is an absolute myth? I think the guy's kind of moronic. He comes out with all these things. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He never bloody does them. And the point I would make is this. The reason that AI and technology related to it is being played out seamlessly, faster and faster and faster and faster, the reason there's not a gap where people, as these manipulators, are sitting around a table strumming their fingers saying, oh God, we can't move it on yet. We've got to wait for some geek in a garage in Silicon Valley to invent the next level of control. Oh dear. No. There's never that gap because the technology already exists. It's in the underground bases and the secret projects. Now, what you need to bring it into the public arena without people sussing where it's coming from is you need front men and women. And that's what Musk is.
We've got to take another break. Okay. He's an obvious front man. He's a pitch man. And there are so many things that you alluded to. How could he be in control of these companies? On top of everything, it's the Boring Company. He's building underground bases for the military industrial complex. They've got him on the cover of Time magazine as the man of the year. They're trying to tell you that he turned off Starlink when it's being utilized in the Ukraine war to hook into the Sidewinder and Ghost drones. It's absolutely absurd. When we come back in this short segment, David, I want you to talk about the new book, The Dream. It is Making Sense of the Madness, and we'll be back after this. We are back. It's Making Sense of the Madness, and we're joined by David Icke, and he is an accomplished author and speaker. I got to tell you, David, back in the day when I got my first desk job and was finding out about this stuff, I would sit down and watch some of your 4 to 8 hour lectures, which are really a shell of the books that I would later read. Your new book is The Dream. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, how long you got?
We got about 13 minutes in this segment. This is the final segment. We actually skipped a break for you, David, because you're that good.
All right.
That's what we got.
13 hours would be better. I tell you, my driving force, all this 34 years I've been doing this, can be summed up by a quote that's attributed to Socrates, the ancient Greek philosopher, which, to summarize it, is wisdom is knowing how little we know. So the one thing that we know that cannot be challenged and cannot be dismissed is that whatever we know or think we know, there's always more to know. And so this has driven me on. So when I started consciously pursuing this uncovering, I started out in the early years, and it was all about the here and now, the world of the seen. It was about the secret society network that's really pulling the strings of politicians and the system in general. There's a hidden hand that's driving the world towards this dystopia step by step by step. It's gone from hiding it to sales pitching it now. That was all about that, all of which has basically turned out to be true in the world of the scene. So then I asked the question, well, this couldn't have been happening for a few years or even a few decades. It's too big. So when did it start? And I started going back and back and back. And I you can pick it up in Babylon and such places, though it goes back further. So then my next question was, well, okay, so you've had this cult getting more and more expanded until it became global, as it seriously is today. And you've got people being born, playing a part in advancing the agenda of the cult and its expansion of power. And then they die, and then other people come in. And I thought, well, there's got to be a unifying force. There's got to be a force that's overseen the whole thing, that's directed it, basically. And that was in the late 90s when I started to realize that there was a non-human element to this, that there was what people call an alien dimension. But people would say, when I said, it's a reptilian non-human element to this human control, first of all, they said, you're crazy. Why did they say I'm crazy? Because it's so far out of people's normal. But people's normal is simply what they're normally told is real and what they normally experience. And we come back to what I said earlier. Control of humanity comes down to control of perception. So they want you to have the narrowest perception of normal possible, because if you do, then when people like me expose what's happening outside of your perceived normal, then you'll immediately wave your arms and say, you're mad, that's impossible. No, don't confuse what you perceive to be possible by what is possible. And then there came the question, so why don't we see them then? And then you realize that humans see virtually nothing. You know, if you said to people, when you look out into the room, wherever you are, can you see everything in the space you're looking at? And people look around and say, yeah, of course I can. No, you can't. You can hardly see any of it. And this is mainstream science. According to, again, mainstream science, the electromagnetic spectrum, which is basically our reality, is 0.005% of what exists in what they call the universe. And visible light, which is the only band of frequency that we can see, everything that we see as a visual reality is within this visible light, as science calls it, frequency. And that is a smear, a tiny fraction of the 0.005%. So humans are basically blind. And as I explain in my books, there's a reason why. Again, it comes down to perception. So what is happening in the same space that we are experiencing, just as with the old analog radio and television stations, is that other dimensions of reality are interpenetrating ours. They're just on different wavelengths. That's why we don't perceive them. And it's in these wavelengths, very close to ours, but beyond human perception, that this whole human reality is controlled from. And this global cult that I talk about is just an expression, a vehicle within our human world to impose the will of this non-human force operating just outside of human perception. And so then I started asking the question when I started establishing all this stuff. So how do they do it? And in just after the turn of the millennium, all this is in the dream in great detail. Just after the turn of the millennium, I had this overwhelming feeling, knowing, call it what you like, that this reality is a simulation. It's the equivalent of a virtual reality game, but of obviously massively more sophisticated. And what I explain in the dream is how the human body is a decoding mechanism. I've called it since the 1990s a biological computer, which connects us to the simulation. And the simulation is not a construct, it's a field of information. Just think Wi-Fi, it's exactly the same. If you look at Wi-Fi and you look at a computer, the computer is decoding elements of the Wi-Fi field. And it puts it on the screen in a completely different form to what it appears in how it appears in the Wi-Fi field. And thus, we are doing the same. And if you go through the process, mainstream science of how we decode reality, it's exactly the same as a computer. You have the five senses, which they connect us to the simulation, the decoding mechanism, and they decode or transform wave field, waveform frequency information into electrical signals, which are communicated to the brain. And the brain has different specialized areas for each sense to decode that sense and to then form a reality that we think is external to us, but actually it's in here. Just as the internet is inside the computer, it's not there or there, it's inside the computer. You're just looking at it. And so the brain takes the electrical signals from the five senses and it decodes them into a digital holographic form, which is what we call the external world. And one of the things I go into in the dream in some detail is a revelation, shall we say, that I've never seen written anywhere else. And that is what we call the human mind is AI. It's not the level of AI that we see in the human world now, although they are connected, because from this other realm, where AI rules the whole and runs the whole simulation, that AI is now coming into the human world. That's why it's taken over the human world. It's the same thing, but nothing like as advanced. So the human mind, I say, is AI running through the biological computer. And so when you look at the different spiritual disciplines around the world, they say one thing, especially the Eastern ones and the esoteric ones. They say To become enlightened, you have to go beyond your mind. Mind is the barrier to enlightenment. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, well, what's the bloody mind then? This barrier they talk about that you have to go beyond to become enlightened. And I say it's an AI program. And it's my view, as I describe in the book, that if you are only driven by mind, five sense mind, as I call it, and not consciousness, the true I beyond it, then when you arrive in this world, when you're going to leave is already decided because it's a program run by AI. What overrides that program is when people go beyond it and into consciousness. And that process is what we call awakening. Awakening from the perceptual straitjacket of this, what I call astral AI mind, into a level of consciousness that can see what the mind is programmed to stop us seeing. And this is how we connect the dots. The mind cannot connect dots. It's not programmed to connect them. It's programmed to see everything as apart from everything else. Consciousness connects dots. So as you become more conscious beyond mind, you start to see things you've never seen before. And people have said to me, I can see it now. Why didn't I see it before? Because mind was running your life. And if you are only controlled by five sense minds, you are the equivalent in a virtual reality game as of a non-player character, because the game is running you. This is why becoming conscious beyond mind is the worst nightmare of this cult. That's why it wants to stop that in any way it can. And the reason they want to connect AI in this reality to the human brain is to give greater power to this AI mind to shut out consciousness. And so you've got the jab with its self-replicating nano systems, and it's designed to interconnect and become an expression of this cloud. Thank you very much, Mr. Musk. So the cloud becomes your mission control, your point of perception and awareness to block off your ability to become conscious beyond the AI program. And this is why all the way through the last 34 years, all the different things I've done, all the different things I've uncovered, names, dates, places, all these things, the key consistent message has been, we are enslaved by our own manipulated, imposed perceptions, and we become unenslaved by breaking out of that program into consciousness, the true I, the infinite I, that's exploring forever, forever. We are just having a brief human experience, and that human experience, if we don't become conscious beyond it, is what is driving our perceptions, thus our behavior, thus the world that we live in.
So David, wrapping it up, I just say that this cult, or the predator class, as I like to call them, have not been able to explain nor create consciousness. And it's very obvious that they are trying to separate us from that consciousness, which is essentially which is what makes us human. And I know another one of your books out there is Human Beings Stand Up. Get off your knees. You're a true icon. Iconic is the website. The Dream is the book. We Will Not Be Silenced is the film, premiering in the beginning of October. David, thank you so much. And thank you, audience, for being with us. Remember, it is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. And I will see you on the flip side.
There's a lot of things that I've said over the years which were perceived to be crazy. And then suddenly, they start to move mainstream.
I'm waiting for someone to convince me that we don't live in a simulation.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, taste, and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain. What if all you ever knew was a lie?